Steve Palmer here, Lawyer Talk, off the record, on the air. What is the appeal? Well, it turns out there is some appeal to What's the Appeal series. People are liking this. I'm getting lots of questions. So I'm going to do a quick What's the Appeal segment, and I'm going to talk about something. I don't think I've touched on this yet, even tangentially. I get lots of questions all the time upstairs in my law practice, Palmer Legal Defense. Check it out. About people who have entered a guilty plea, and now they change their mind, and they want to withdraw their guilty plea. In other words, they pled guilty to something. Maybe they had a plea bargain. And most of the time when people want to change their minds, because they didn't like the sentence. So the trial judge didn't impose a sentence that the client expected or the defendant expected to get. This happens a lot. So a criminal defense attorney goes in, pleads guilty, say that you got three counts of drug trafficking. Prosecutor agrees to dismiss two of them. In Ohio, we have something called joint recommendations, meaning the parties are going to recommend to the judge that there's only 1 year of prison on this. And but then the judge has, we can't bind the judge in Ohio. In federal court, there's binding plea agreements. Other states have some binding joint recommendations. But in Ohio, we don't. So the trial judge doesn't have to follow the joint recommendation. And this happens a lot. So we go in and we jointly recommend 1 year. And the judge, lo and behold, comes back 5 years. And the defendant's standing there saying, looking at the lawyer saying, what'd you just do? You screwed me. This isn't fair. This is an outrage. There's some things to unpack here. First and foremost, when I have a joint recommendation with my client and I've agreed with the prosecutor to recommend something to the judge, I go talk to my client. And a lot of this comes down to communication. I am very crystal clear on plea agreements and any big constitutional meaning. You're waiving your right to trial type decisions with my client. Look, we are going to ask the judge to do a certain thing, but the judge doesn't have to. And the judge could actually turn around and make this significantly worse, or even marginally worse, whatever the worst it could be. I always make sure that my client understands this, and we have a very, very candid discussion about it. This, and look, I'm not criticizing the people I represent. In fact, quite the opposite. When you're sitting in the defendant's shoes, I think our human nature is to hear the good and maybe disregard the bad. So a lot of times people will hear, well, my lawyer said I was going to get blank. And then I talk to the lawyer later, and the lawyer says, no, I didn't tell him he was going to get blank. I told him that he could get blank, but he might get more. And then, you know, my in the back of my head, I'm thinking, well, you didn't tell him that good enough. You weren't clear enough. And sometimes I actually have my clients repeat back to me, and I say, listen, and I tell them, I say, listen, a lot of times people sitting where you're sitting, you're focusing only on the best part of this. And I need you to understand that it could go bad. And if it goes bad, I don't want you to feel like you're surprised or that you got cut off at the heels or that something bad happened here that you weren't expecting. We need to expect it. We need to hope for the best, but we have to be prepared for the worst. Let's talk about it. And it's hard sometimes for lawyers to have that conversation because, you know, lawyers have the same human problems that the rest of us have. You know, we hate giving bad news to clients because it sucks. We hate talking about the bad stuff because it sucks. We've been hired to do good. We've been hired to help clients, and it's hard to deliver the bad news. There's an, I don't want to say it's an art form, but it is so part and parcel with the way I practice law that it's natural now. I always make sure my clients understand everything because they have to. Now, we've gotten a little bit of a tangent, but that's the backdrop for this. So somebody goes through a plea bargain. The judge says five instead of one. And now somebody calls me and says, look, I want to withdraw my plea. That scenario is the hardest one. And if it's been years, by the way, and that happens, I got a call recently upstairs in my law practice where somebody had done already a few years of prison or maybe even 5 years of prison and they want to withdraw their plea. That gets really, really difficult. So the more time that goes by, the harder it gets. After sentencing, so the five-year sentence has happened, even if it's right after the sentencing, it's harder to withdraw your plea. So Ohio has a couple standards that the case law spells out. After sentencing, you have to show a really, 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 really good reason to withdraw your plea. And a really, really good reason might be that the plea colloquy, the question and answer in the courtroom wasn't done correctly. Or maybe you can show that your lawyer gave you bad advice, told you your case could be expunged, but it couldn't. told you the maximum sentence was X, but it was really Y. Maybe the plea paperwork is screwed up. That would be a good reason. Sometimes I get affidavits of my client, my client's family, who were in meetings with lawyers who got bad advice, and then we can try to make a case to withdraw the plea after sentencing. But it's frowned upon. The courts don't like it. Before sentencing, in theory, in Ohio, the standard is basically it shall be freely granted. In other words, withdrawals of plea requests should be freely granted. My experience lately, and when I first started practicing back in the 90s, I think that was the practice. I could almost always I could get pleas withdrawn before sentencing. Now, so if you've entered a guilty plea and you've changed your mind and you haven't been sentenced yet, it's a lot harder now to withdraw a plea. And I don't know why. The outlook on it has changed a little bit in the courts. Even though it should be freely granted, courts are denying these requests. So it's not so easy to withdraw the plea even before sentencing. And then you have to consider this. So somebody calls me and says, look, I want to withdraw my plea. And the first question is why? Well, you know, my lawyer, the cliche, my lawyer screwed me, is typically an answer I get. You get to the bottom of it, which is the judge did more than what the person expected. But then I get into a deeper discussion like, all right, so you withdraw your plea, you're in this frying pan, you withdraw your plea, you're going to jump right back into the original fryer. You're going to go back to the trial court level. That means you're going to go back and you're going to have to try your case. And there was probably a reason you entered a plea in the first place. In other words, you didn't want to go to trial for one reason or another. Maybe the evidence was strong. Maybe you couldn't win. Maybe you were afraid of what the consequences would be, worse than what it was even on the plea agreement and the sentence. And you have to be very careful because it's easy to have buyer's remorse, but you have to understand that the option isn't go back and win. The option is to go back and start over. And that means time. I guess your time, forget about time, but it means money. You have to go back and you have to pay a lawyer, or you have to go back and deal with it with a public defender if that's what you're going to do. You got to go back to square one and start over, meaning you may have to go to jury trial on your case. And you should understand that if you have withdrawn your plea and you had an agreement with a prosecuting attorney on that, and it's the same prosecutor's office, they're not going to be so happy about it the second time around. They're going to be thinking, wait a minute, I gave you this deal the first time around. There ain't no deals now. It's not going to get any better for you. In fact, it's going to get worse. You either plead guilty as charged or go to trial. So don't withdraw your plea thinking that it's going to get better automatically. It might get worse. And again, people don't always understand that it can get worse. But anybody who's like, go to a blackjack table and think, I can't lose four times in a row, and you lose five and you lose six. It can always get worse. That's a bit of a hyperbole, but you get what I'm saying. Now, there's another reason that people want to withdraw their pleas. Maybe, just maybe, since you've been sentenced, the landscape has changed. Maybe the evidence has changed. Maybe the alleged victim has recanted and said, no, my husband really didn't assault me. I made it all up because I was in a divorce and I wanted to get custody or whatever it is, you know. So maybe the evidence has changed and that gives you a better chance to win the trial the second time around. That's a far more contemplative decision to withdraw the plea. And that one I would often support. But if it's just to go back and say, I don't like the sentence, I'm going to do it again, don't think that if you do it again, it's going to get better. Now, I guess the final scenario is, what do you got to lose? So there are certain times where it literally can't get any worse. You got a maximum sentence, so why not go back and try it? And I get it. You know, what do you got to lose? Well, if there's very little or nothing to lose, so the risk at trial is like an extra year of prison and you're doing 10, I get it. Go back and take your shot at trial if you got any reasonable shot. Take your shot and try to win it. Doesn't mean, though, you're going to be able to withdraw your plea, but you can at least try. So what do I do when I get a request to withdraw the plea? I have this conversation with my clients. I walk through all these considerations. I try to figure out what they're trying to do, why they're trying to do it, and what could get worse, what could get better, what are the ramifications. And then we look at, if the decision is we want to do it, we want to try to withdraw the plea, step one, I get the documents. So whenever somebody enters a guilty plea or a no contest plea in a criminal case, there's almost always a written document that you've signed. It could be a waiver of your constitutional rights. It could be something called Rule 11 negotiations, which is like the written contract of what the agreement is. You sign that. And then I get the transcript, if it still exists, of the plea hearing in front of the judge. So the judge has to have a meaningful dialogue, meaning they have to talk to the defendant, so, and be sure that the defendant understands that they have constitutional rights, they're waiving those rights, what the maximum punishment is. If there's a plea agreement, almost always a judge in Ohio will say, I don't have to follow a joint recommendation, sir. I can do worse. You understand that? I get the transcripts so I can see if there's a constitutional I don't want to call it a technical problem, but a problem with the plea agreement itself. And then we draft a motion. The motion is filed in the trial court. Prosecutor responds. I often beef up my motions with things like affidavits or witness statements. If there's citations to the record that are helpful, I'll use that. And then the trial judge has to make a decision. If you've already been sentenced, probably not going to get granted. Then you have to go to the Court of Appeals, and the Court of Appeals will review it. If you lose there, you go to the Ohio Supreme Court, and you go up the appellate ladders that I've talked about. With that, we'll wrap it up. Palmer Legal Defense here at Lawyer Talk Podcast. What's the appeal? You got a question you want me to answer? Go to lawyertalkpodcast.com. Shoot me a comment on the socials. I'll be happy to reply. Check us out. By the way, we're sponsored by Circle 270 Media. Phenomenal. If you've got a podcast that you want, if you're in the Central Ohio area, even nationally, great podcast consultant, check out Circle 270 Media. Brett over there will take care of you.